Greetings, contrarian a-holes, and welcome to another fine episode of Objection with an exclamation point, brought to you by the folks at DVD Verdict, as well as the Old White Man Cabal, through a generous grant from them, and Chef Boyardee Testosterone. My name is Judge Dan Mancini, and I am joined, as always, by Judge David
Johnson. And we're going to have to add another sponsor probably after this episode, like, you know, brought to you by what's a large purveyor, like Omaha Steaks or something, right? Or you know, the New Hampshire liquor store. Yeah,
or I think either one of those. What is the name of that steakhouse? Well, we won't give away what we're talking about yet. But this is a show that was kicked off by our mutual love of Predator 2.
And sorry, mutual isolated love perhaps.
Yeah, against the opinion of nearly everyone else in the world. And has kind of evolved into, at least in part, a show that is a defense of traditional manliness, wouldn't you
say? I would say that's kind of where...
In Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the more holistic approach is we'll take on a subject that's either despised or revered, and we'll kind of go against the grain and make the case of the contrary. And it just naturally evolved into like defending, you know, manliness and, you know, alphaness and testosterone, where the Chef Boyardee comes into play, just because Hollywood enjoys dropping steaming deuces on those ideals and principles. So,
yes, they do. And we want to make clear, we're not, you know, as we've said in the past, we're not here to defend cavemanliness. Yeah.
In fact, we're not particularly manly ourselves, to be honest. So,
I think in the traditional sense, we are men of honor.
Oh, true, and duty.
Yeah. And as a great man once said, if you don't know what honor means, you probably don't have it.
That's true. Granted, I mean, we don't power lift or trap possums as much as we should, perhaps. You know. Go out there and swap pelts with the indigenous natives, but you know, we try to hold to some principles.
Yes, absolutely. We don't necessarily have luxurious mustaches.
We're tantalizingly close.
Right. You know, I'm not even sure I'm capable of a luxurious.
I know I have some odd facial hair missing gene or something that doesn't allow upper lip mustache growth as well as I'd like.
But, the subject of today's show is, we're going a little bit off map here, in that we're dealing with TV. We don't deal with TV a lot. But we felt that based on, some of our earlier discussions in previous episodes of manliness, that there was no way to avoid talking about this particular.
It really was a collision course we embarked upon.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there was no getting
the wheels were set in motion months ago, and this is just this is the point of impact.
Yes. And we're talking, of course, about Ron Swanson, Ron effing Swanson from Parks and Recreation. And to join the discussion, we have a special guest today, which is Judge David Ryan.
Hello, gentlemen.
A man so infatuated with Mr. Swanson, he changed him as his Facebook profile picture. So here's someone who's drinking the scotch with us.
Yes, yes. And when was the last time you were on the show with us? Was it the Jar Jar Binks episode?
No, I was on
Famed.
There was another one. I forget which, though. It's been a while.
Wait, you did. I remember talking about Avatar with you for something. I can't remember what.
Yes. True Lies.
Yes, there you go.
That's right.
Oh, it must have been our countdown. Some kind of our countdown. Was it, right? Countdown or? No, it was James Cameron hasn't made a decent movie since True Lies. That's what it was.
Yes.
Very nice.
It is. It's flooding back.
So it's good to have you back, your expertise.
Oh, thank you.
Your preparedness, because, you know, most of the time we're not prepared. Right. And you seem to come, you know, ready to go.
I came with a slight cough today, so I apologize in advance if you hear rasping nasty cough sounds coming up your podcast here.
As long as you don't, you know, keel over.
That's actually for the listeners, not for you two. You two I don't care about. But, yeah, the listeners.
Yeah.
Are close to my heart, and I don't want their ears to be assaulted unnecessarily.
That's so kind of you.
Yes. It's just how I roll.
You're clearly, a man of honor. Clearly.
I'm effing Swanson. That's who I am.
Exactly.
My name is Ron. I'm ready. You don't need to know my last name.
Or where you live, your address. Yeah. Go ahead, ask him his address. Where do you live? Why? That's the most recent one.
I think I will preface this by explaining how I came to change my Facebook avatar to Ron Swanson.
Let's do that.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I discovered that I was starting to actually do Ron Swansonisms in my regular life. For example, when my lovely wife was talking about the olive bar at the local supermarket, I detest olives, just so you know, as I assume Ron would, because they are green and grow on a tree.
Yes. Yeah.
But my immediate thought was, you know, I respect the olive bar because it concentrates all the things that I despise in a foodstuff in one easily avoidable place.
That is an exactly Ron Swanson train of thought.
It's a Ron Swansonism.
Yeah. That is.
And then I just embraced the Ron and went from there. So, and here we are.
And here we are doing an entire show about it. Now, I mean, for us, I think the Ron Swanson was unavoidable because it at least in my opinion, it is unthinkable that a character like this would become the breakout character, really, in a primetime network sitcom. And those of you who are unfamiliar with Ron, he is in the show Parks and Recreation. He is the head of the Department of Parks and Recreation in Pawnee, Indiana, this tiny town. He is a libertarian who hates government, loves eating animal protein as long as it is not fish, has a luxurious mustache. Something approaching a pompadour, I would say.
And because he is not a rabbit, he does not eat salad. We know that much.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And he's been quoted in one of my favorite episodes, if not my favorite episode, as saying, everyone knows that he has never checked a book out of the library. Which, again, is awesome manliness. So the idea that this guy, and the show does not treat him as a buffoon, really. And the idea that he has broken out as a kind of cultural phenomenon, I think, is worth examining because it's so unusual to have a character like this on television. Wouldn't you say, Mr. Ryan?
I would. I mean, I think to an extent, I bet that the creators of the show did not expect him to be a breakout character because, you know, Parks and Recreation kind of fascinates me in general. You know, to give those of you who haven't watched the show a little background, it's a de facto spinoff of The Office in that it's not a spinoff of the characters, but of two of the main writers, Greg Daniels and Mike Schur from The Office, created and do the primary writing for this show, and, you know, based around Amy Poehler. But if It was a good show to begin with, but it really did not have its footing in its first season, if you remember some of the earlier episodes. And, you know, Ron was – I don't even know if he was supposed to be as integral a character as he is now. He may have been more like, you know, a Creed or a Stanley on The Office, where you just bring him in to have a couple of good lines, and then he goes back to his office because the real – you know, the male lead was Mark Brandanowitz, who was played by Paul Schneider, and who I hated as a character, but that's another story entirely. But it was really, I think it was the hunting episode where they went on the hunting trip that Ron really took center stage. And I think the combination of the writing of that episode and Nick Offerman playing the character, they suddenly discovered, hey, we've got something really great on our hands. Let's make Ron more important. And since then, he's been more of a lead and less of a supporting character. And I think that's where the real breakout happened in the second season.
And in fact, you can make the argument that as of now, I mean, even recent episodes, it seems like Parks and Rec has become way more of an ensemble comedy than just the Amy Poehler starring vehicle. You know, I mean, Yeah. Like, her screen time is about the same. I mean, you'll have a side story with, you know, Aziz Ansari's character and Ben. You know, Ben and Tom have their own thing going on. Then you have, you know, Chris Pratt's Andy Dwyer has kind of broken out as well. So I think that's just a testament to, like, the quality of the writing. And there's just a lot of really funny, interesting characters. So it does seem like it's – like, everyone's kind of got an almost equal piece of the pie these days.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's sort of become like Seinfeld, too, in that the nominal lead role, which is Amy Poehler, has kind of become subsumed to the ensemble aspect of the cast, that it's no longer her show. It's everybody's show, and she's just a part.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me, too.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, you'd mentioned wondering whether Ron Swanson was supposed to be this big a character and everything, and I had heard a podcast interview of, I think it was Mike Schur. And unfortunately I don't remember the podcast name. It was linked through wired.com. I do remember that. And, he talked about how, at least based on what he was saying, essentially Ron was, it sounds like going to be a gimmick, you know, a head of a local government agency who is a libertarian. And they even thought, well, you know, maybe that's going too far. Maybe that's too ridiculous to have an anti-government libertarian in that role. But he said they were talking, as they talked to people in local government, they asked a woman who was the head of a department, is that ridiculous? And she said, I'm a libertarian, and I'm aware of the contradiction. So they went with it from there, and it does seem like, you know, I think I would say based on Nick Offerman's performance and his embodiment of the role that the character has grown. And, you know, also the Ron Swanson pyramid of greatness, I think, has, and the fact that that became an internet meme has sort of launched the character into the stratosphere.
And, you know, what else is so deft about it all is, like, Parks and Recreation is a very kind of positive, almost optimistic. I mean, there's really no villains or, you know, unless you're talking about Dennis Feinstein from the last episode, right, the perfume huckster. But really,
Or the librarians.
Or the librarians. Yeah, I mean, but they're James Bond villains. You know, Tammy right. Swanson is a James Bond villain. But like, I mean, all of her principles, there's really no equivalent to, like, you know, Dwight Schrute or someone who's kind of like that foil, you know.
Right.
You know, even Ron, I mean, you know, Ron hates the government. He says he doesn't want to get involved with people's lives. You know, even when he does act kind of douchey, like in one episode last year when Mark, you know, cited him for a bunch of code violations in his workshop, which was a hilarious episode. You know, he comes around to it, he makes him a canoe, or, you know, when Leslie is overly concerned about his drinking and she wouldn't let him drive, and then, you know, he builds a harp while having five scotches that night just to prove otherwise. You know,
like,
I mean, you know, he always comes like he seems a little adversarial sometimes, but it's just kind of in the defense of what he knows is right, because he is always right. But, you know, he loves Leslie. He appreciates Leslie.
Yeah.
You know, in the episode, like, the two-part season finale last year during the government shutdown, you know, he said, I will gladly sacrifice myself, you know, for such a mighty cause, because he wanted Leslie to stay. So it's not like, you know, so yeah, he's, you know, it's very much comical how he is this hardcore libertarian, but it also works as a foil with Leslie, who's this, you know, wide-eyed, government-could-do-anything type of idealist. But they both have big hearts. Right. They both respect each other. That's something I've always got from Parks and Recreation, which is kind of refreshing. It's like, there's really no, aside from maybe John Ralphio, too, there's no, like, super dicks in that show. So,
no, yeah, there's not a mean spirit.
I think that's a testament, obviously, to the writing, and again, to Nick Offerman, like we said.
And they play it well with these opposition of characters, because I can't remember the name of the episode, but the episode where Leslie turned herself in for
the dinner party. Was that the dinner party?
For accepting a gift over $25 when you're not supposed to. And so she turns herself in cause nobody else cares. And then she has to be, interrogated essentially by these government bureaucrats, and Ron goes with her. And it's great because they keep asking her the same question over and over again. And finally Ron steps in and says, you know, how many times are you going to ask her this question? If you want to get to her, you're going to have to go through me. This interview is over. And then they get up and walk out. And, I mean, you just have to love
that's right.
That
or he's very protective of April.
You know, that kind of, right. Right.
But yeah, he still doesn't
that
respect
kind of relationship between the characters.
He still has, you know, he still doesn't respect everybody. Another great line. Another great line from last 2 weeks ago or whatever was, you know, I'm surrounded. I work. You know, I'm surrounded by. I'm surrounded by women. You know, my place.
Yeah.
And that includes the men.
By a lot of women in this
yes.
office.
And that includes the men.
Including the men. But yeah, he doesn't really respect Tom, that's for sure.
He, I mean, he doesn't respect Jerry at all. Tommy's just sort of, you know, ignores.
Well, like, he treats him like this cute little oddity. You know, he kind of always, you know, hey, little guy. You know, he always...
Right.
And when he ate that giant pepper in the dinner party episode, you know. You know, he takes Tom's ex-wife, you know. But Jerry, I think Jerry embodies everything that Ron hates about the government, you know, like the bureaucratic hack guy, you know.
I think he embodies everything Ron hates about life. He is the inverse of the Swanson pyramid.
That's true.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. Yeah.
Like physically speaking, I believe, as well.
So sort of the next thing on the list of things was to just sort of go around and do a just a round robin of what we consider the most awesome Ron Swanson quotes and or moments from the show, or even episodes if you want to go in that direction. So I will throw it out to you, Mr. Ryan. What really stands out?
You had me at meat tornado.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be my all-time favorite. That episode that they it was actually just repeated last week, where Ron takes Andy under his wing to an extent, was brilliant.
Yes.
The two of them together was comedy gold. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's a formidable pair.
I mean, there's so I love his quotes about how he, you know, his thoughts on government when he gets right into it. You know, he'd rather work for Chuck E. Cheese. Now that you know.
Yes.
Drop in a token, yeah. Look at a duck. Drop in a token, go for a walk.
Drop a token, go on the swing.
Or, you know, he really, I think it might be in the first season, too, where he really kind of codifies it and says, you know, my perfect ideal for government is one man sitting in a room with a button to launch nuclear weapons. And I'm being, oh, here it is. I got the quote here on my Facebook page. My idea of a perfect government is one guy who sits in a small room at a desk. And the only thing he's allowed to decide is who to nuke. The man is chosen based on some kind of IQ test, and maybe also a physical tournament like a decathlon. And women are brought to him, maybe, when he desires them.
Yes.
There you go.
That's perfect. Yeah, I love how, you know, in a couple different episodes, he's, number one, said that as director of Parks and Recreation, his goal is to not build any parks. And then there's another episode where he says that if he ever becomes city manager, his first act will be to shut down the Parks and Recreation Department.
That's right.
Entirely.
That's right.
So you got to.
Whereas Leslie said she'll double it. So again, nice.
Right.
Point.
Right. Exactly. A couple for me. I mean, probably my favorite episode of the show is Ron and Tammy Part 2, which is just so utterly ridiculous that I don't know. I've watched it like 4 times, and every time I laugh so hard it hurts. And for those unfamiliar, Ron has 2 ex-wives, both of whom are named Tammy. Apparently his mother was named Tammy also. And one of them is evil and is a librarian.
For the library.
And, yes. and is capable of manipulating Ron. And so they kind of get back together. I can't remember the circumstances. Well, it starts with him dating Tom's ex-wife, and so Tom starts dating.
He gets
Tammy Swanson.
The notice of the overdue book.
Right. The overdue book about micropenises.
Yes.
That she has. So he has a huge fine over a book that he did not check out because he's never checked out a book from the library. And then they fall in together again, and he gets cornrows and spends the entire episode walking around in the silk robe.
And he eventually has to listen, watch himself on TV, right?
Right. Yeah. And then he watches, that's probably one of the highlights of the episode, is him watching a videotape that he prepared for himself in the event that he got sucked back into the Tammy Swanson maelstrom, which he has. So, and again, that's another episode where there's a lot of heart to it because sort of everybody comes to the intervention and they all try to stop Ron from making this huge mistake. And Tammy Swanson, it should be said, is played by Nick Offerman's real life wife. What's
Megan
her name?
Mulaney. Megan Mulaney.
Yeah.
Megan Mulaney.
Yeah.
The best part of Will and Grace.
Yes.
Talk about a backhanded compliment. Jeez.
She was good on that show. She's a tremendous comedic actress, so who really needs more vehicles to, you know, for enjoyment.
Would you watch a spinoff starring Tammy Swanson and her, you know, and the Absolutely. What happens in the library, kind of like based in the library? The kind of evil machinations in the library.
Evilness that is beyond the library department.
Yeah, and I love the unspoken, you know, pretty much everyone in the Pawnee government agrees that the library is evil.
Yes, oh yeah.
The cops do, you know, everybody.
they're in constant fear of the library.
I'm having fun. I cannot literally think of a place worse than that.
Yeah. Yes. And the other, I'll say this too, the other kind of Swanson-focused episode that I always love is when he wins the women's award, simply because the women's organization wants more attention by giving their award to a man. And it's an award that really Leslie deserves. And that's a good one too, because there's this nice tension, but you know, Ron ultimately also acknowledges that Leslie does all the work in the Parks and Recreation Department and she's the one who deserves the award. But his attitude about it is great, and I love the moment when he says that he hates awards, and Leslie deserves it, but she likes awards too much, so he's going to torture her for a while. And then he spends most of the episode pretending like he's at least somewhat happy to have won this award.
I think that episode has the best opening of all of them, because if you recall, it's April opening an envelope saying, apparently you're Pawnee's Woman of the Year. He just says, it's about time. And they go,
right. Like a little arch to his eyebrow and everything.
The other great line from that episode is, everything I do is the action of an winner because I won an award.
Yes.
I think, you know, I love Ron. You know, Ron is, you know, food makes up a big part of what Ron is as well. You know, his love of food. So even, you know, remember when it was Tom's birthday where they go to the strip club, you know, and Ron doesn't like being there because, quote, he's pretty sure all these women are running a low-grade fever, you know, but they have a great breakfast bar. So they have, that really appealed to him. Or
I'm not a man to turn down quality.
That's right. Or the most recent episode where he was denied his steak from Mulligan's, right? Mulligan's Steakhouse.
Right.
So he didn't want the portobello mushrooms. He freaked out. So then he goes to that diner and, you know, says, I'm worried that when you heard me say all the bacon and eggs you have, you just heard a lot of bacon and eggs. I repeat, give me all the bacon and eggs you have.
All the bacon and eggs you have.
And then he goes to the Indianapolis Steakhouse and filibusters to keep Mulligan's
open. That's right, deleted
open.
Scene, right?
Which was not in the
right,
episode.
Deleted scene.
So I have to thank you guys for pointing that out to me, because that, I think, is the funniest line.
That's right.
In the whole
it actually closes a pretty – it closes an actual plot thread, so it was weird that they deleted it, you know?
Yeah.
And he was filibustering ahead of, like, some group that was going to accept some kind of award for – like putting it,
helping die.
Yes, he apologizes and embarks on his filibuster.
Right. Yeah, I think they're trying to open a children's hospital. It's like, I understand you're trying to open a children's hospital, but I'm going to keep talking anyway.
Well, food plays a very large role.
In 1904, Charles Mulligan got drunk and walked out into a field and punched out a man dead. That man turned out to be a cow, and the cow turned out to be a delicious steak.
Exactly. Oh man, and we were sort of worried coming into this episode that we might not have enough to say about Ron Swanson.
I don't feel like we're defending
Ron Swanson sort of speaks for himself.
This isn't like we're not being contrarian here. I think everybody. I mean, whenever I read any articles on Parks and Rec, Ron Swanson is always mentioned as one. I mean, I really think he's the greatest, you know, comedy creation on TV right now. You know, I don't know if that's controversial or not, but he's always highlighted in the articles I read. So, you know, Whenever he takes front, you know, whenever he takes kind of a front seat role in any show, I know I'm in for a good time, which is why the ensemble approach has been nice.
But there's got to be masses of, say, Avatar fans out there who are deeply offended by the idea of Ron Swanson and what he represents.
I think Leslie offers a counterbalance, I suppose. You know, they really are kind of, you know, polar opposites as far as, you know, their ideas of the role of government, right?
Yes.
And you know, Ann Perkins to an extent, too. But of course, you always have to refer to as Ann Perkins.
Now. As Ann Perkins, yeah.
I think, you know, I really wish Rob Lowe had stayed on the show. I understand that he's to an extent, too big a star.
Wait, are we...
to be a regular ensemble.
Now, this is breaking news to me. Is he not on the show anymore? I know that particular plot line is evaporated, but I thought I'd read somewhere that he's still on the show.
He's sticking around, but not as a regular character. So he's not going to be on every episode the way he has been up until this point. And I don't think he has an obligation beyond this season. So, I mean, it's clear they want to keep Adam Scott around, Ben Wyatt. So, but I believe Rob Lowe has a drama pilot that was picked up or something for next season. So I may be just making things up, which I've been known to do from time to time. So, I will see if I can figure this out. Nope, I have no information. My sources have failed me. So,
well, at least you have sources.
That's true. We appreciate
that. Dave and I have no sources.
Not at all.
Just have whatever comes out of our mouths.
I have to admit that when this show was first announced with Amy Poehler as the lead, I didn't think it was going to succeed because I didn't think she could do it. Much as I liked her on Saturday Night Live, I thought that she's an improv comedian and not a character comedic actress, and that she wouldn't be able to do it. And she has been truly outstanding in the role. I've been shocked by how good she is at playing Leslie.
And so that's something that's kind of grown, because I'm with you. Like, that, really, the first season, there's not much that I like happened in the first season, to tell you the truth. And I just don't think like the Leslie character wasn't as defined. I mean, she's kind of this idealist, kind of naive, quirky, you know, optimist type of person that she's kind of grown into, but. It seemed like she was trying to channel Michael Scott a lot in the first go-around, you know, the first stretch.
Yeah, yeah. She was a little man-crazy, too, that they've completely...
Agreed, yeah, absolutely.
So it really felt its way around, and it was a short order for the series. It was a six-episode first season. The network wasn't exactly throwing a lot of support behind this spinoff. And that they stuck with it, and it the second season... They kind of got a grip on how these characters work together. And, you know, I hate to dump on Paul Schneider again because he's a good actor, but Mark never worked for me, and I think getting rid of him has vastly improved the show. And, you know, the Ben and Rob Lowe tandem essentially filling his role has been much better dramatically and comedically.
Mark was so normal that he didn't fit into this surreal.
Well, his screen time got chopped towards the end. I mean, he had a couple. He'd have some pretty funny lines. He was such a good actor. He was able to deliver some great one-liners. But I just think there was just nothing for him to do towards the end.
And I have read that they essentially told him to make the character slightly unlikable from the get-go. Which he, for me, did very well. I also have read that they knew that he wanted to do more cinematic work.
Yeah, I didn't hear that was his decision. I thought,
and that they wrote the character so almost intending for him to leave at a very early point and then come back, and that they wanted him to. He was inspired by. I read one of the. One of the people that they really sort of based the show on, who kept on going in and out of the private sector to the public sector because, you know, he'd get sick of the backstabbing politics in the private sector and then go back to the public sector and it would be random incompetence everywhere and then he'd go back, and his career was just bouncing back and forth, and he was jaded by both angles, and that Paul Schneider's character was basically that guy.
Yeah, I heard that same thing too, right?
So I think we probably will see him again eventually, but I think as a as a side character, as a like a cameo type character, he probably will work better.
Think that the ensemble idea has benefited everybody. I mean, even though Amy Poehler's probably not as central anymore, I don't know how she feels about that, but I think it's benefited her character too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she deserves a lot of credit because it's a tricky role to play. That character could be really unlikable really easily.
Yes.
She walks a fine line because she's so oblivious to things. She could be annoying. Yeah. But she plays it in a way where you like her despite her quirks.
Wow. We did it, Dan. That's 30 minutes.
We did. Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
I think I coughed once.
Not bad, though.
Not bad. Yeah, you did well. We congratulate you on that. One more quick round robin. We don't have to go into detail on this. We can just name it. But what other television show do you think could benefit from the presence of Ron Swanson?
The Office. Seeing that this creative spinoff has taken over, I think, as the funnier sitcom. Put Ron Swanson toe to toe with Dwight, and we'll see who emerges as the manliest office employee.
Yeah, I think that's the real answer. My answer would be Battlestar Galactica.
That's not bad.
Nice.
Really don't care which.
Yeah, mine was The Walking Dead. I would like to see Ron Swanson take on zombies.
How about Iron Chef?
Because I think he would do well. I think he'd do really well in a post-apocalyptic world.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would enjoy seeing it.
Agreement with them where, if they just left him alone, everybody can get along just fine. I stay out of the zombie business. The zombies stay out of my business. It works.
Yeah. Well, there is no government, so he'd be happy about that.
That too, yes.
Enough of this Ron Swanson nonsense. I think we've gone as far as we can, and we just recommend that all men out there grow mustaches and sport pompadours and eat at least 4 to 8 servings of animal proteins every day, not counting fish, which is basically a vegetable. Right. And I guess that's it. Is there anything else left to say?
I think thanks. 10 points easy.